corner was a sink, illuminated by September light filtering from a tiny window. I heaved my bag onto the bed and listened to the springs groan, then climbed onto the mattress and peered through the window. If I craned my neck, I could just make out the Sally's front lawns. The panes themselves were grimy and full of webs, and a fat pigeon was squatting in the gutter, blocking half the view. I tried to open the catch, but it was unyielding, so I tapped on the glass to shoo the bird, but it didn't even glance my way. So this was to be my home for the next 2 semesters. Somehow I'd expected more, but at least I wasn't sharing. Thank God I wasn't sharing. Voices echoed down the corridor as new students arrived. A door slammed and someone laughed. I stepped over to the sink and checked myself in the mirror. Boy, I look shit. Stubble darkened my chin where I'd not bothered to shave that morning before the early start. My eyes were bloodshot, my cheeks pale, and my hair hung lank to my shoulders. I rummaged in my bag for a towel, then stripped to the waist and rinsed my face, hair, and armpits. By the time I was done, my stomach was rumbling. Roy had said about the freshers' dinner tomorrow, but nothing about meals in hall tonight. So I grabbed my wallet, pulled a coat from my bag and shoved a pack of cigarettes and lighter into my jeans, then exited and strode back along the corridor. Another new arrival was just wrestling his suitcase through a door. "Hi," he said hopefully, but I just shot him a terse smile and passed in silence. I trotted down the stairs to the marble entrance, where a queue of students now waited with their luggage for Roy's attentions. He gave me a quick wave. "Enjoy your evening." Outside, the front lawns of the hall were already gloomy. In summer, the borders would be resplendent with colour, but now they were a mess of browning stems. There was a smidgen of rain in the air, and I turned up the collar of my coat and thrust my hands into my pockets, then rounded the back of a university building and came out upon a spacious quadrangle. This was the heart of academic St Andrews, a rectangle of perfectly manicured grass cosseted on 2 sides by Renaissance architecture, and, on my left, by the Gothic buttresses of St Salvatore's Chapel. I swung under an arch and came out on North Street, where I stopped and looked up and down, wondering which direction to take.
"You can't stand there,"
came a tart American voice over my shoulder.
"You need to get off right now."
I turned to find a girl a few yards behind me, clutching a handful of books to her chest and glaring at me. She was tall, almost my height, with long obsidian hair parted in the centre. A vast university scarf was wrapped around her throat, and her sturdy Doc Marten boots only served to emphasise the stick-thin contours of her legs. Her brows were drawn together in opprobrium, and her eyes... oh, her eyes. I swam in their anger. For a moment, my mind was blank. Not a single neuron stirred.
"I said you need to get off."
"What?" She balanced her books with one hand and pointed at my feet.
"That... the pH. You mustn't stand on it. It brings bad luck. Lots of bad luck. Every student knows that."
These last words were expressed with such withering contempt that I stepped back automatically and peered at the pavement. Sure enough, between the cobbles was some kind of design, the letters P and H, but woven together to make them appear one. But I didn't know.
"Patrick Hamilton," she informed me brusquely. "He was an abbot who carried the teachings of Martin Luther to Scotland, but the Archbishop James Beeding considered them heresy and sentenced Hamilton to death in 1528.
I adjusted my gaze back to her. She was looking at the initials. One finger of hair hung forward over her left eye, but the frown had eased and her tone softened as she got into her story.
"They burnt him at the stake on this very spot, and the fire consumed him for 6 hours.